please take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 1. Easy to find. Today is Sunday, October the 20th, 2024. And last week we were looking in God's Word about humility, if you were here. And of course, humility is the opposite of pride, ego, being self-willed. And I mentioned that it takes humility to walk with God. It takes humility to get answers to prayer. It takes humility to get revelation from God. It takes humility to stay faithful to God your whole life. And this morning is kind of a follow-up to that. We're going to take a closer look at God, and perhaps we'll increase our appreciation, love, respect, honor, and humility towards God as we look at this morning. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that in itself is humbling. God is the creator of all of it, the heavens and the earth. We as humans are part of his creation. And that should give us a little pause for humility. We're part of his creation. He created everything, and we're part of his creation. We're the vessel, he's the potter. I think there's a place in, is it Romans or Corinthians, it says, shall the thing made say to the thing that made it? God is the great creator. You know, somebody built this house. It just didn't appear. Somebody built it. It took plans. Then materials had to come into play. Workers put it all together, right? We all know that. Well, look at what Hebrews chapter 3 says. It's a cool verse in Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says in verse 4, for every house is builded by some man, someone. But he that built all things is God. Everything. God is the creator of it all. All things. Everything that you see, everything that you can't see was created by God. And see, you know, when you look up into the sky, we have no idea how big it is, how vast it is. And, you know, it's like every year they go, well, it's bigger than we thought. There's even more than we thought before. How big is it? We don't even know how big it is. And it's interesting, the more they discover on earth and in the heavens, the more of the great precision that they see everything that they can find out. So how much wisdom and power did it take to create not just the earth, but all of the universe? How much wisdom, power did it take? What human wisdom, all combined, could even make a planet? And then put it perfectly in orbit to stay. Look at Jeremiah chapter 5. Right after Isaiah. Yeah, I was looking up some stuff, and you can just spend hours looking at stuff about the universe and the billions of galaxies and all of this stuff. And I was going to share some things, but it was like, gee, how much could I share? An hour's worth, 2 hours worth. But I will share one thing with you. Did you know that they say about 71% of the Earth's surface is water. And 96% of that is ocean. Okay? So look at this verse in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 22. Jeremiah 5:22. Fear ye not me? Meaning reverence, awe, respect. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence? Which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. In the NIV, it has it this way. Should you not fear me, declares the Lord? Should you not tremble in my presence? I made the sand a boundary for the sea, an everlasting barrier it cannot cross. The waves may roll, but they cannot prevail. They may roar, but they cannot cross it. All that water, and yet it just doesn't just cover the earth. Because God set it up that way. Look at the design and the precision of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Isn't that a beautiful verse? I made the sand. I put that there for a barrier. Do you not fear, reverence me? God Almighty created all of the heavens, including this little planet Earth. So, who does this planet belong to? God. God has the title, Rosemary, for the whole earth. Look at Psalm 24. Psalm 24. It all belongs to Him because He's the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The earth is His and everything in it. The world, and they that dwell in therein. God is the great Creator. And in Psalm 50, now stick with me this morning. We're building towards something here. We're just building here. Psalm 50, let's go to verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifice or burnt offerings, to have been continually before me. I'll take no bullock out of your house, nor he-goats out of your fields. I'm not going to take your animals. For every beast of the field's mine. They all belong to me anyway. And the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you. I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Isn't that just beautiful? It all belongs to God. Now remember, keep in mind what we looked at in here in this psalm where God said, you're my people, I'm your God. That's going to come up in a little bit. So all of it belongs to God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And as you know, part of God's creation, human beings. You know, we got elephants, we got giraffes, we got birds, we got plants, and we got peoples. We are part of His creation. And in the Old Testament, there was a man, a human being that God communicated with, a man that God made covenants with. Covenants are agreements. They are solemn arrangements. And God made covenants. And talking about the man Abraham. And God said in the Word, Abraham is my friend. That is deep. Abraham didn't say, God's my friend. God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, said, that man is my friend. That's amazing, isn't it? the one who created everything, the earth, all of the heavens, said, that human being over there is my friend. That is just so deep. And so God made some very astonishing promises to his friend and to his seed after him, his progeny. So fast forward now to when God sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. You're familiar with that. Why did God send Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt? The reason he sent them was so that God could make good on the promises he made to his friend. And so God sent Moses to take the children of Israel out of Egypt and not just bring them into the land that he had promised Abraham, but give them that land. And in addition, look at Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25. That's right before Numbers. Leviticus 25. So the offspring of Abraham, stuck there in Egypt, God sent Moses to deliver them out of that horrible situation. They were slaves because God was making good on his promises to his friend. Take them out, bring them into the land, and give them that land. And in addition to that, in Leviticus 25, verse 38. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. What could possibly be better than that kind of an arrangement? That the creator of the heavens and the earth is your God, your God. And this was God's choice. It wasn't like the people going, wow, I wish the creator of the heavens and the earth would be my God. This was God's choice. The creator of the heavens and the earth, I brought you out to give you this land and to be your God. It was his choice. And of course, as you know, they saw the great magnificent power of God. They saw his miracles, his provision, his help, his healing. They saw all of that. And then we look at Numbers, which is the next book, Numbers 15, this wonderful verse in Numbers 15. Numbers chapter 15, the last verse of Numbers 15, verse 41. I am the Lord your God. Everybody there? Numbers 15:41. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Three times in that verse, God is telling his people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 12 tribes, that's God's people. God said, I'll be your God. I will be your God. So what great advantage those people had over all the other people on the face of the earth, because God was God to those people and not to the other people. These are the people that he chose to be their God. And they had the creator of the heavens and the earth on their side. He protected them. He provided for them, took good care of them. And, you know, when they followed his words, when they reverenced him, when they were humble to God, when they obeyed him, when they trusted him, no enemy could touch them. And many tried and failed miserably when they were walking and trusting, loving, reverencing their God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Who's going to go up against the creator of the heavens and the earth? I think I mentioned there's that record with Hezekiah. God sent an angel. There was a and wiped out 185,000 of the enemy that was camped outside of the city, ready to wipe them out. And God's like, well, no, those are my people. In one night, they're all wiped out. don't mess. Don't mess. Now, keep a marker here, but look at Psalm 33. I wanted to just throw this in because I think it's important. Psalm 33. We hear the phrase many times, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, right? That's not unfamiliar. But let's just look at it. And then we'll come back here to Numbers. But in Psalm 33, we'll just get a running start with the context. Rejoice, Psalm 33, rejoice in the Lord, O ye his righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. He just spoke it into being. And all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep, the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear or reverence the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. And then it says in verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The people that he has chosen for his inheritance. So what nation is that talking about? The nation that God chose to be their God, by God's choice. In the Bible, there's only one nation. And even though our country was founded on great biblical principles, and there are plenty of people in this country that love the one true God, worship the one true God, believe the one true God, there's only one nation of people in the Bible that the Bible speaks of as God choosing to be their God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, whom he has chosen to be their God. So back to Numbers 15:41 again. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. And as we read records in the Old Testament, sadly, they didn't stay faithful to their God. They got deceived into worshiping false gods, idols. They basically turned their backs on the one true God. They were no longer humble, no longer reverent. First Israel, 10 northern tribes, then after them, Judah. Two southern tribes. Meanwhile, during all of this time, God was planning and preparing to bring a Savior, one who would redeem mankind from Adam's sin, way back in Genesis. A Savior who, by giving his life, would bring redemption and salvation for human beings. Part of his great creation. Look, John 3:16, we probably all know it by heart, but let's just look at it. John 3:16. Because as you know, the Savior was promised to come from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Judah, from God's own people, of course. John 3:16, but look at this. We know it probably by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The first five words. God so loved the world. God's great love for human beings is sometimes overlooked, unrecognized, unappreciated. It doesn't say God so loved the whales that he made them really big so nobody could mess with them. You know. Out of all of God's creation, God so loved the world. And that word world means people. God so loves human beings. Why? I don't know. Would you say that human beings screw up a lot more than animals, birds, palm trees? God so loved the world. And after Jesus Christ completed all that was necessary for mankind's redemption and salvation, God was now ready to bring to human beings something so very, very remarkable. Why? Because God loves people, human beings. And so now, as you know, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in the heart that God raised him from the dead, God's word says they're saved. They receive eternal life. They receive God's Spirit in them. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 10. Now this is going to start getting really exciting here. We need to remember that before Pentecost, we're going to 1 Corinthians 10, before Pentecost, God had human beings classified in two categories, two groups. There were the Jews, which God's chosen people, descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. There were the Jews, and then there were the Gentiles. And Gentiles many times is translated from a word that means nations. So there were God's people and everybody else. Didn't matter who their dad was, where they lived, what color they were, what they ate, what everybody else. Jews, Gentiles. But we read here in 1 Corinthians 10:32, it says, give none offense, neither to the Jews, we know who those are, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Oh, isn't that something? The church of God. There's now three. It has nothing to do with skin color, it has nothing to do with gender, it has nothing to do with where you live. There's three categories of people according to God's word. There's Jews, there's Gentiles, and then there's the church of God. Those who are born again are collectively called the church of God. Remember Paul said, I persecuted the church of God. God's church. It's God's church because he chose it to be his church, his decision. And as you know, the church of God, all born-again believers, also referred to as the body of Christ. Look at Colossians, not too far away. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 and verse 18 of Colossians 1. It's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a couple of weeks ago, I did a teaching on the Lord. If you missed that, you might want to check it out. It's on the website. He, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church. Whose church? God's church. He's the head of the body, the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, Jesus Christ, might have the preeminence. Of all the folks that are in the body of Christ, Jesus Christ is Lord. He gets the preeminence. But it's still God's church. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. Church called out. You know, it means the called out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes our brother unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. In God's eyes, we are sanctified. And remember what that word means? It means to be set apart for a purpose, for God's purpose. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, we're saints because we're holy in God's eyes, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is telling us that it's His church. And God made Jesus Christ the head of the church, the body, this group of people, which God says is His. It's God's church by His choice. So therefore, who do we belong to?
God.
Yes, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, we belong to Him by His choice. Not us going, wow, I'd really like for God to be my helper. I'd like God help me. We belong to Him by His choice. It's amazing. And so, as we start looking at scriptures in the New Testament, we see that we have it so much better than those people in the Old Testament. You know, we read things like God has forgiven us all our trespasses. We read that God's made us righteous in His eyes, that we are holy and acceptable in His sight, lovely and acceptable. We have His Spirit within us with the ability to operate Spirit power, and so much more, way more than they had. Since the day of Pentecost, God now has a new arrangement, a much better arrangement, a much deeper relationship, and in fact, an arrangement that's going to last forever. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, chapter 1. Another familiar verse, but perhaps some of the dots being connected to just see this, how big it really is. And I think the thing I really want to communicate this morning is that God is the creator of all of it, and we belong to Him. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. First time we're born, there was seed involved, right? Took a seed and an egg for us to get here. Seed from the dad, egg from the mom. But it's corruptible, right? The Lord tarries, 100 years from now, we won't be here. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Incorruptible seed. Incorruptible means forever. Keep your a marker here and look at John chapter 3. God came up with this fantastic plan after Adam screwed everything up. And why? Because He just loves human beings. And you're familiar with this in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that You do except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man or a woman be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the word again there, I think you know that, it's the word anothen, and it means from above. Except a person be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, well, how can a man be born when he's old? What do you mean? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? What? I don't get it.
Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water."
Ah, that's the first birth, the natural birth. You know, we all start out in that little swimming pool before we're born.
Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Two births.
A natural birth, born from above, Spirit.
Born of Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again.
And back in 1 Peter, that's what it's talking about, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. It's eternal life seed that we have. Isn't that awesome?
All the descendants of Abraham,
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were all
God's people.
God was their God because of bloodline. They did nothing to get it. You know, 500 years after Abraham, some kid is born from the tribe of Benjamin. God is your God. Oh, cool. The nation over there across the street, sorry. He's my God, but he's not yours.
It was bloodline. But now, since the day of Pentecost, any person can get born again, born of the Spirit, and at that moment, they belong to God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. By birth,
by the new birth, by being born of the Spirit.
It's awesome. You know, in the Old Testament, all the other nations did not have God as their God, only the descendants
of Abraham.
But today,
no longer bloodline, it's spirit. That's what every one of us in this room, those of you on the hookup, what we have in common is spirit. We can be from totally different backgrounds, different nationalities, like different teams. What makes us common is the spirit that we all have, the Spirit of God that's in us.
And because of that spirit, we all belong to God.
He is the creator of the heavens and the earth is our God. Who else you want to have in your back? Who's bigger? Who's better? Who's more powerful? God. He's our God.
So the last place we're going to look at is Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Then I'm going to preach for a few minutes after this. After we read these verses. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body. One.
I know there's all kinds of different denominations. There's all kinds of groups here or there. As far as God's concerned, every person that is born again is part of the one body of Christ. God's church. There's one body.
There's one spirit.
That's one new birth spirit. You know, this group over here doesn't get a different spirit when they get born again. This person doesn't get a bigger one. There's one spirit. We all get the same spirit.
Even as you're called in one hope of your calling.
There's one hope. That's when Christ comes back to gather us together. One hope. We're not going in shifts. All of us at once. Boom. And there we are.
Okay. One body, one spirit, even as you're called, one hope of your calling. There's one Lord. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. There's one faith, believing, one right way of believing. There's one baptism, and that's being born again. And then look at verse 6.
There is one God
and Father,
God and Father
of all, who is above all, of course, through all, and in you all.
Not in every person in the world. Not in every human being that lives on the planet. God is in his children by way of the Spirit. He put his Spirit in us. There's one God and Father of all who is in every one of us.
And so what we have now is so much greater than what they had in the Old Testament.
God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is not only our God, but he is our loving, tender Father. Because of birth, we are born again. It wasn't because of birth in the Old Testament. It was bloodline related all the way back to Abraham. But now, this new arrangement that God has, it is by birth. He is our God, and he is our Father. Oh, my God. When my kids were growing up, and they heard it from somewhere, and they would go, "Oh, my God." And then I would stop them, and I'd go, "Are you praying? Or are you praising God?" They're like, "What?" "Well, you said, oh, my God. He hears you." So I just didn't know. Are you praying about something? Are you just praising God, or, you know, something that you heard? You know, talk about reverence. Oh, my God. And people, you hear it all the time. There's even the acronym, OMG. Let me text OMG. Are you praying? Are you praising God? It's like sometimes people say, "Oh, for Christ's sake." Well, that's in the Bible. Maybe they should read the verse that it's in. "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." So maybe when you hear somebody say that, go, "Yeah, he's forgiven you." They'll go, "What?" God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, has committed himself not only to be God to the church, he is our God, but he's also committed himself to be our Father. Father to all of his born-again children. The one that created everything is your God and your Father. And how humbling that is when you think about it. It's very humbling. You know, who am I to deserve such a relationship, such a connection, such love, such grace from the Creator? Oh, my God. Thank you, my God. Our God and Father has promised us eternal life. And that means when the time of the judgments come, every human being who has ever lived is going to be judged, except us. We won't be. When that time comes, we will have already been gathered together, met Jesus Christ in the clouds, and as the scriptures say, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, the Bible is clear. It says we've been saved from the wrath to come, judgments. We're not appointed unto wrath. We've been delivered from the wrath to come. Oh, my God, thank you. But wait, there's even more. While everyone else needs to go through the judgments to find out if they're going to remain or not make the cut, bye-bye forever, we, God's church, the born-again ones, we are going to be rewarded for what we have done faithful to God, the rewards that we're going to receive for being faithful. Oh, my God. Thank you. How very special we are to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And we read and can see how God took such good care of his people in the Old Testament when they trusted and believed him, when they were humble to him, when they reverenced him, when they recognized you are our God and didn't start bowing down to statues and all this idol crap, when they weren't worshiping the host of heaven or the zodiac, when it was like God is our God and he took such great care of them. What great advantage that gave them over all the other human beings on the planet. So would God do any less for us? Of course not. He is not only our God, but he's our Father. And so no wonder it says in the scriptures that we can read, scriptures addressed to us, things like, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus."
God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. No wonder it says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Weren't they more than conquerors in the Old Testament when they followed God? Of course they were. People heard about them all over the world when, hey, better not mess with them. Oh my God, thank you. It says in Romans, if God be for us, who could be against us? Our God, our Father. It says nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh my God, thank you. So how blessed and privileged we are. How undeserving we are of all of God's great grace and blessings. What a great, big, wonderful God he is. That's why I read that verse last week in 1 Peter. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The creator of the heavens and the earth, the almighty one in power and wisdom and love and grace, is not only our God, but because of the new birth, being born again, he's our tender, loving, heavenly Father. So, always remember when we pray, we are addressing the creator of all of it. And how humbling when we read, his ears are open unto our prayers. We heard that in manifestations this morning. He hears us every time we pray. You know, that's why I did that with my kids. They stopped saying it. You know, sometimes you hear, the lady that cuts my hair goes, oh my word. That's fine. Oh my word. Not, oh my God. We're addressing the creator of the human race, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and his ears are open. He always hears us. How humbling that is. We're addressing the one who has the wisdom and power to create everything, who is our God, and who is also our loving, tender Father. And before I pray, we're going to turn to number 73 in your songbooks. I'm going to sing a song together here. I see the stars.
summation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
How great thou art.
How great thou art.
How great thou art.
Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Father God, how great you are. And we praise you, and we thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for so loving the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that we could have eternal life and all the blessings that go with it. We stand in awe of your great power. We're so humbled to know you hear us when we call and when we pray, and that you are still a God of great power, a God of great deliverance, a God of great healing, and a God of answered prayers. We're so privileged to be your children, and we thank you for all that you've given to each one of us, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.